Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here. Thank God. One more time, He allowed us to be in the number. One more time, we're able to come with none other than the Word of God. We're able to look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God. Like the writer said in Psalms, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So you got to have the law of God in your heart to keep you. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. So those are some of the quotes out of the 119th Psalm. So we thank God that we're able to be here one more time. And we thank God for you and you and you. We want you to know there is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, believers who were already saved. So that's what we're talking about. We've been talking about the last week after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then we're talking today, this is part two, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the early church. So, of course, our theme is the Godhead, and we have been talking about word power for a number of weeks. So, got to be born again. So God is not the author of confusion, and the church began on the day of Pentecost. Peter had the keys. The message was repent. When they asked the question, men and brethren, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he said, the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so with many words, other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That is one thing definitely that we have to do, is save ourselves. So then, this is where we were on last week, verse 41 in Acts 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we thank God for his word. You've got to be born again. So the church started on the day of Pentecost. That's what is very important. He gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. He called him Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Jesus is the rock. He is the rock that is higher than I, as the psalmist says. So Peter had the keys, and we have to do what Peter said. And so the Lord is the one who chose them and gave them his word. So this is where we find salvation in the Acts of the Apostles, which is the Holy Ghost working through them. So we are so glad, so honored to be here. Just another session on Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for all of our Twitter listeners and followers, all of our LinkedIn connections and friends, our Facebook friends and followers, and our Blog Talk friends and followers. Thank God for you. So it's so good to be here, and we're able to start right on time on today. Knowing I had a little technical difficulty on last week, so I end up losing about 10 minutes off of the show. So glad to be here on today. So we want to move forward as we've been talking the last, like I said, on the last couple of weeks after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we dealt with the resurrection past couple of weeks. So last week, We dealt with what happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we gave the, actually the week before last, we gave the accounts of the events that happened. And actually we went to, I believe we went to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and we dealt with their account of the resurrection, especially Luke. That's how we ended up in here in the Acts of the Apostles, because Luke is also the writer of Luke and also the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. So how we ended up dealing with this, and we're dealing with what happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So no cross, no crown. So he had to get up like he said that he would for everything to take place. And we're knowing that he is an on-time God. He does everything on time. And he was on earth for 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, knowing he went back to heaven 10 days later. He sent back the Holy Ghost. So I want to make a correction, something I said on last week. And that is, I made mention about those that were up in an upper room, James, and also Jude, the brother of Jesus. And I made a mistake. Jude was the one whose book was only one chapter. The book of Jude is only one chapter, I believe, 24 verses. So I wanted to make that correction. So he was the one that said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So one chapter that he said, so much that he said about God saving the people out of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. So important. The worst sin in the whole world is unbelief. So we got to believe God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we got to have faith, and we're knowing that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we keep on hearing. That's why it's so important. Scripture will support scripture when you get into the word of the Lord. So today, we, like I said, we are still talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we thought we would just go a little farther, because on last week we kind of missed out on some of our time with our technical difficulties. So just these times, you're dealing with so much technology, you got to get started ahead of time in case you have any glitches, so you can get them all ironed out of the way so you don't lose any of your time. So we thank God that we are able to be here. It is a blessing. So, where we ended off at, so they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day, were baptized, rather, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's where we ended up at right there. So it is the apostles' doctrines. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So it is about, it's not about men. So that's why you got to really look into things like these Preachers of L.A., and then they say they have another one coming, the Preachers of Detroit. I sure would hate to be an unsaved person out there in search of what is really going on, because that is confusion. You got all of these different people that have different persuasion, and they also have their little disagreements and all, because like Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, the answer is no, they can't. So everybody's not right. So like someone said, the Bible is right and someone has to be wrong. So that's why Paul wrote to Timothy, said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we got to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So people think they can do all kinds of things, but you can't do just any old thing and still walk with God. It's not going to work. No, it's a fight. I mean, people have, some people still want to drink and walk with God. Some people want to still smoke their pipe, want to smoke their cigar, whatever. They still want to do these things and walk with God. No, you can't do that. But he said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. I will receive you, you'll be my sons and daughters. I'll walk in them and dwell in them. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. So we don't have no agreement with idols, or with devils. If you're walking with God, you got to walk with God. Ain't no such thing as social drinking. You got the Holy Ghost, that is the new wine. And you're listening to one, I drank enough to dive in and drown. I know about drinking. And no, that doesn't go. Matter of fact, I don't even have a desire to drink. And I had drank everything from all kinds of wine and beer and vodka and gin and whiskey. I done it. But God saved me from all of that back in 1976, and I'm glad about it. I don't miss it. So as we're moving on today, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And so they said, they used to have a saying, and it's true. They said the word of God will do one of two things. It'll either make you shout and glad, or it'll make you fight and mad. So like someone said, one of our late bishops says, you haven't preached until you made them mad. So in other words, God's word goes against the grain. So we can't just do whatever we want or say whatever we want or give whatever interpretation we want and be right. No, that's doing violence to the scriptures. So what am I saying? I'm making one point. I said it. I'm not going to back up. I've off of it. I've studied it out. And men, women, human beings, they want to make a name for themselves. There are no apostles nowadays. You want to talk about it, and there's not. The apostles were eyewitnesses. They had to be taught by the Lord. They saw him. They walked with him. Only one didn't see him, but he did see him. That was Apostle Paul. He said, and last of all, he was seen of me. That was one of the signs of being an apostle, that you had to see the Lord. You had to be taught by the Lord. There were eyewitnesses of the Lord. And also, the thing that people don't want, you put it all together, all of the apostles died a horrible death but one. That was John, it was boiling oil. I don't want to be boiling oil. So, and also, one of the jobs of the apostles, that's why we're built upon that foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. They laid the foundation, and they wrote the New Testament scriptures. That's why you got writings by Peter. That's why you got writings by John, writings by St. Mark, a writing by the Apostle Matthew, who wrote to the Jews, because that was part of their mission. They were eyewitnesses. They were taught by the Lord. They walked with him. They wrote the new. They laid the foundation. They wrote the New Testament scriptures. He chose them and called them apostles. There's only 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the new city in heaven. 12 apostles of the Lamb, names are in the 12 foundations. So there were only 12 who are recognized. So there are no apostles nowadays. As a matter of fact, you read the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation, it makes mention about those you had to be tried. They were said that they were apostles and they were found liars. There are no apostles nowadays. He, only the Lord, had chose those 12 men. Like I said, in that particular case, they all were men that he chose. So this is their book that they wrote. What they said, we have to say what they say. So that's why he prayed we say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. That's the model prayer when you study it out. But the literal Lord's Prayer is in the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I don't pray for these only, but I pray for all of them which shall believe on me through their words. You got to understand that he was a priest. He is God. He done it all. He is the Lamb. He's going to be the Lion that comes back to fight. So he's carrying lambs in his bosom now, but he's going to be the Lion which hath prevailed. So we got to know that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he got many crowns in the 19th chapter of Revelation, many names and offices. Somebody said, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. So he is the captain of our salvation. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He is the great high priest. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is our Savior and our Lord. He is the King of Kings, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That word potentate means supreme ruler, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. He is the one. The Hebrew writer says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In the book of the Revelation, I, Jesus, send my angel to testify these things. I am the root and the offspring of David. So you got to understand, he is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead, the spirit of holiness. So he is the one that gave his life, said, no man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So we got to know that it's all in Jesus. And Jews, they know that there is only one God. And as a nation, they did not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, because that would be saying that he is God, and they didn't want to give him that credit. So all that believed were together and had all things common. And so their possessions and goods imparted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So no, you don't have to sell all your stuff and bring it and lay it at the apostles' feet. Ain't no apostles' feet to bring it to. But they had love in their heart. That is what they'd done at that time. So what we need is the love that they had that caused them to do that. So as we move on here in the third chapter of the Acts, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So we know the day starts at 6, so the third hour would be 9 in the morning. The sixth hour would be 12 noon. So the ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. In other words, he was begging. He needed help. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. This is this man, now, the lame man now. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So this is what the Lord does. He came to that the lame would walk, the blind would see, the blind up, the brokenhearted. All these things were written in the Old Testament about him that he would do. And he literally done these things during his earthly ministry. So even here in the New Testament church in the beginning, they're doing these things. So even I've seen where people would have handkerchiefs, they laid all out. I mean, God didn't say do that. He done miracles by the hand of Paul, Apostle Paul. And so what happened when he done that, evil spirits cried out and all of that when he done that. He delivered people, not no so-called monetary blessing or material blessing that you're going to get. See, this is where people, where you're going to have it out today when you make mention about these kind of things, this seed sowing lie that they got going. So because that wasn't really like years and years ago. This foolishness just came up in the last 10, 15 years or so. And so that's ridiculous, because you can't bribe God. You can't buy a blessing. I challenge anybody. You can't find nowhere in the scripture where all of this so-called seed sowing, because they don't get it. He gives seed to the sower. That's literally talking about a farmer in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. So they keep talking about sowing a seed, sowing a seed, sowing a seed. No, pay your tithe, which is the tenth, and a freewill offering. Anything else is up to you to give. You can give time. You can give volunteer. A lot of things you can do is considered giving along with money, as far as that goes. But there is no pay the pastor, you're going to be blessed, and all this foolishness that people are coming up with. That's hogwash. And you got to know better than that, because no one's worth is more important than our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life. That's why he's the only one could say, when John wrote of him, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends." These are the words of Jesus. So he's the resurrection of the life. You got to believe him and do what he says, and not all of this stuff that people are coming up with. Because the whole point is, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. What is so very important, What is paramount is the saving of souls, because the Lord is soon to come. Not these material blessings and so-called preachers of L.A. and all this stuff showing how people live and just the arrogance of people, you know, how they live and they bragging about it. I mean, Jesus, he didn't have nowhere to lay his head. I mean, that's ridiculous. It is not about how good somebody can live. You could do you could do and buy whatever you want. If you got the money, you got a job, you can buy whatever kind of house you can afford, and if you got and whatever car, vehicle you want to drive, that ain't got nothing to do with the gospel. Period. Absolutely nothing to do with it. So that's ridiculous. So, but people are caught up on material things because riches actually, a house and a car and some glad rags or whatever, that ain't no riches. That's just a place to stay and a car to drive. But riches is abundance. And this is what Jesus was saying, that a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possessed. So that's the other word. Abundance can it actually means things that's over the top that you really don't need. He promised to supply our need. But, yeah, people, you have things that you don't need. I mean, people have abundance. That's what that's talking about. That's above what you need. So it's nothing to brag on because we didn't. That's what he said, charge them that are rich in this world that be not high-minded, but trust in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. But the whole point being that you should have it in your heart to lay hold on eternal life. Because he said we didn't bring nothing here. It's certain we're not going to take nothing with us when we leave here. So your soul is the only precious, most precious possession that you have is your own soul. That's why he said, what shall a man profit it if he gained the whole world, loses his own soul? And then he ends it with a question in one of the Gospels. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So you got to look, and I say this, and I know it's right. He said, no man can serve two masters. You hold to the one, cleave and hate the cleave to the other, or you despise hold to one and despise the other. So and he went on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. That's all people are talking about. And they, you know, they get done preaching. Oh, yeah, I heard one bishop in another state. Yeah, you got to do something. You got to make the word work. No, you don't. You can't buy God. That's ridiculous. That's the whole point is what people were doing even back in the Bible days, bribes. And all of these things that they were doing, you can't, you know, bribing the judge and all of that. You can't bribe God, and you can't buy a blessing, and I'm not going to back off of that. So we go on here. This man, this was a miracle that was performed on this man. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. So rightfully so, this man was begging or asking for a handout because he could not walk, which means if you can't, he couldn't work. He'd have to get a sit-down job. God knows that maybe, you know, people, they do discriminate against people with, we call, handicaps, or now they change it to say challenges. So, you know, he didn't have a job because he couldn't walk, so he begged. And the lame man which was healed, held Peter and John. All the people ran together under them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Yeah, because you know why? They hadn't seen that. Think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They claim they're so this and that and the other. They're God's people and all. But they didn't perform one miracle. And that's why they were so mad at Jesus, because we be Abraham's seed and all this. He said, no, you of your father the devil. You know, you didn't. If you were Abraham, of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. They didn't do that because they were full of dead men's bones, because their heart wasn't right. What they did was wanting to be seen of men. So they were just had an outward appearance. We would call that. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk?" He asked them a question. So he's letting them know. He goes on, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." See, but he couldn't let him go because he came to die. So that just shows you. But see, God never left himself without witness. So he knew that Pilate himself knew what his wife said. "Don't have nothing to do with that innocent man. I done suffered things in the dream because of him." But he couldn't let him go because it was determined, it was ordained that he came to give his life. You got to understand the divine essence of God is spirit. So people don't understand. It says he's the Son of God. Yes, he is. The Bible said when Mary and Elizabeth, their salutation in the book of Luke says, how this going to Elizabeth was saying unto her, prophesied unto her. So Mary, who was the virgin, who was found with child, she said, she asked a question. How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? So the word of the Lord comes, says, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee and come upon thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's Luke 1 and 35. That's the operative word, called the Son of God. Yes, God is everywhere in every place. God is not some being out there in space, as we would say, but space is in God. So you can't contain him. He's everywhere in every place. So he came into the world that he made. He came into his temple. He came. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So he came into the world that he made. So we go on here. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and that was Barabbas. He was a murderer. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, brethren, I would that through ignorance you did it, as though also your rulers, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Remember, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he said, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" So he goes on in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter here, "He shall grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground." This is the prophecy of Jesus. So, and then he goes on, "He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Here it is right here. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was bought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. So this is definitely the prophecy of Jesus that Isaiah is talking about. So he goes on, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So Peter is preaching to these people, these Jews. He shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now this is, remember, he just like he said, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So he goes on here, jumps in the law of Moses. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet, this is out of Deuteronomy, prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto your brethren, raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass, every soul will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after us, many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets. He's talking to these Jews, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first have God raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So these are things that the Apostle Peter had preached. And I remember too many times people just dwell on Peter. They say, Peter denied him. Oh, yeah, he did. God cannot lie. Jesus had already told him, for the cock crow, you're going to deny me thrice. That's three times. And he did, and Peter wept bitterly. You don't see Peter crying no more after he got the power on the day of Pentecost. So as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. That is with Peter and them. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Remember, we're talking about after the resurrection. So now Peter, who was the one that was ordained to be a witness, to be an apostle, St. Peter, as we call him, the Apostle Peter, as we call him, he is the man now. He is preaching. He has the power, and he has the authority to preach this gospel. So they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. You talking about, they was preaching. They didn't have no seed line and no $1,000 line and $50 and $100 line. They preached the word of God, because that's what it's about anyway. It's about souls, not about men trying to be important. And because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's not coming back for the church building, but he's coming back for people. He's coming back for a church that has neither spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? This is it. Now they're questioning Peter and John. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, he's talking about the name of Jesus Christ is what he's talking about. When they heard and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took no knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That reminds me of something back when the Contra thing was going on back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president. And I remember this barber that I used to go for a space, Jesse Jackson, had rescued this Navy pilot. And so I'm told, I didn't see it, but they asked Reagan about that. You know, what did he have to say? Jesse Jackson had rescued this pilot. And I'm told his words were, "You can't argue with success." And he's right. You can't argue with success. So this is the same thing right here. And behold of the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." Now that was the devil. That devil is a piece of trash. He is a master of deception. He is the biggest fool in the world. He's a real fool. Because that's what he wants to play like he is. But he's got the guts and the gall. Because he knows that the power is in the name of Jesus. So that's why that lie that they told in 320-something A.D., when they changed the baptism to the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because they know that in the name of Jesus is the power. Not titles, but he said, "And baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." The name is Jesus Christ. Not repeat what I said, but do what I said. The name is Jesus, and they know it. And right here, they know it too. So this is the devil using this man here to but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. That sounds just like the devil. And incidentally, should you desire to call in, should you have a comment or a question, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So that's just like the devil. He don't want you to say nothing. But yeah, he said, "These signs shall follow them, and I believe in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall take up serpents. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So people just laid hands on people twice in the New Testament church. That is, if any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. And so they anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. So the other time in the New Testament church, when you lay on hands, is ordination. So you don't lay hands. You definitely don't lay hands casting out no devil. All you do is speak the word. People want to impart. You know, you don't impart nothing. You lay hands on the sick, and you lay hands for ordination, and other than that, you keep your hands off people. So they so Peter and John, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. So in other words, remember now, we got to pay very close attention to repetition. They're telling them not to speak or to teach or to say nothing about the name of Jesus, and that they might as well, the devil might as well back up, take a back seat, because they're not going to shut up. So we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, seen, and heard. So that's exactly what they're going to do. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. So they knew they couldn't argue with that. Like, they knew that was the Lord. This man had a miracle done on him that he couldn't walk. And in the name of Jesus, they called over him, and the blessing of the Lord came upon him, a miracle that he got up. His ankle bones received strength. He walking and leaping and praising God. God healed the lame man. So the man is not lame no more, because he was healed, and the devil don't like it. And that's what we like to say even today, like say Jesus is a healer, and the world don't believe it. He heals all the time. So the whole point is, we don't, question is, he can, but it, we don't know, we have to know what the will of God is. We know that it's once appointed unto men to die, and after this, the judgment. So everybody is going to leave here. So he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's able to do it, to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, Jude says. The only God, our Savior, be glory to majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Question was asked to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? The question was asked to Jeremiah, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is coming back, no. So we go on here. So the people, all men, glorify God for what that which was done. And for the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So see, like I say, pay very close attention to repetition. So they're even letting us know, this man is 40 years old. He's not a kid. He can speak for his own self, and he's going to tell it. He got a testimony. He got healed, and he's going to tell it, and no one is going to stop him. Being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. In other words, Lord, look at their threatenings. Grant unto us unto thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy words. In other words, Lord, just help us to be even more bolder, because we're not going to shut up. And see, that's the way it is. We got to have that tenacity. They call it bulldog tenacity. You got to have that. You say, I can't do it, I show you I can do it. I ain't got to say nothing. So we got to have that kind of tenacity in prayer. You ain't got to open your mouth all the time to pray. You can bind a devil in the name of Jesus without opening your mouth because you have the Holy Ghost down on the inside. You can pray. You can bind devils. You can't not. They can't stop you from praying because you don't have to pray audibly. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he which searches the mind of the Spirit know what is the will of, maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. So you can bind a devil in your spirit without opening your mouth audibly. You don't have to open your mouth all the time. So I'm binding devils right now in the name of Jesus. So to do whatever thy hand and thy counsel determine before be done. Now, Lord, look at their threatenings, he's saying, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So in other words, they were full. Like the scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So in another place in Luke, it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned, with power. So in other words, you want to be full of the Holy Ghost. So there's no quitting in you. You do that. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said they, any of them, that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. That's just how they felt during that time. Nowadays, people are just so caught up in material things, they have forgotten the mission. The mission is souls. It's not about us. I've just listened to things that people will say, like, you give a cup of water in the name of the Lord, you in no wise lose your reward, and go on to say, you can't pay me for what my job is worth as being a leader. That's ridiculous. That don't even make sense. That's not a prophet's reward. That's not what that meant either. Because the whole point is, it's you ain't that important. God can get another leader. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is what's important, not us to brag. You can't pay me for what I'm worth. No, you can't pay him. He owed a debt. We owed a debt we couldn't pay, and Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe. His job, his mission is important. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Who? The apostles. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the price of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles, whose surname Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and bought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, if you notice, we were taught you pay very close attention to repetition. So they're talking about the apostles were witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The apostles is the foundation that we're building upon. There were signs done through the apostles. There were healings done through the apostles. So they had a special job, and that is they ushered in the new way. Because remember now, Jesus' earth ministry, when he came, they were still under the law. Until he died, that brought in a new and living way after his resurrection from the dead. The veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. That's why we had access by the faith of him. We can come in. So the middle wall or partition was torn down, so we can all come boldly to the throne of grace, Jew or Gentile, Greek, bond or free, it matters not. We can all come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. It was a throne of judgment, but now it's the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why did he say that? Because we see in Jesus, the Son of God, is passed into the heavens. So he had already done his priestly work, offered himself. Once in the end of the world, he appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Yes, he was the offering. He was the priest. He offered himself up, and he was the God that received the offering that he offered up. Nobody could do it but him, because he is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. Nobody could walk on water but him. Peter walked on the word, and he sunk. But Jesus walked on the water. Oh, yeah, they saw him walking on the water. They thought he was a spirit. They cried out for fear in the 6th chapter of Mark, in the 6th chapter of St. John, and I believe the 14th chapter of Matthew. They saw Jesus walking on the water, the fourth watch of the night. He was walking. He would have passed by. They thought he was a spirit. They cried out for fear. Yes. He is the master. When they had received him into the boat, he said, "Behold, it is I." And they received him into the boat. In St. John 6:21, immediately they were at the other side, whether they went. Oh, yes, Emmanuel was on board, God with us. So we thank God. These are just some of the things that happened after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the early church. Things that they done during the early church. We'll talk to you more on next time. God bless. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truth. TRUTHMINISTRY 5525 at att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.